And now the power struggle going on in Egypt, where an acting interim president is fighting an ousted former president for political credibility. Former President Mohamed Morsi has been formally charged with espionage. The circumstances dating back to Morsi's escape from prison during the Egyptian uprising against former President Hosni Mubarak in 2011. Morsi allegedly conspired with the Palestinian militant group Hamas in his escape. The country's military leader, General Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, is calling for mass protests to tangibly demonstrate public support for the interim military government. Joining us now, Daniel Kurtzer, former U.S. ambassador to Egypt and professor of Middle East policy studies at Princeton University. Ambassador, welcome to the program.
Thank you, John.
This battle with Morsi sort of attacking his reputation, trying to discredit him as a terrorist, in the midst of trying to also demonstrate credibility, Fattah al-Sisi is really embarked on something that is puzzling to me in terms of where he's going to end up here.
Well, that question captures the situation exactly. On the one hand, this interim government, of which al-Sisi serves both as defense minister and the deputy prime minister, is looking for a way to reconcile with the Muslim Brotherhood in order to stabilize the situation in Egypt. And on the other hand, you have al-Sisi out there publicly calling for demonstrations. The escalation today of charging the former president, Mohamed Morsi, with espionage and conspiring with Hamas can only exacerbate the situation. And there's great concern that Egypt may be on a downward slide to a kind of a constant violence that could actually lead to civil war. It's a real worry today.
I guess I'm puzzled as to, you know, on the one hand, you could call this a do-over where the Muslim Brotherhood's reputation for governing really is so discredited by Mohamed Morsi's tenure as president. But you could just go back and do it again, hold new elections. It seems to me that General al-Sisi is insisting upon completely discrediting the Muslim Brothers as basically a condition for moving forward, and that is almost a prescription for civil war by my reading of the situation.
You know, for those who looked at the July 3rd action that deposed Morsi, it was in fact a situation of the third time might be a charm. You know, the military rule right after Mubarak was ousted from power didn't work out. The government under Mohamed Morsi didn't work out, and the hope was that a third time might allow this to happen. But what I think you're seeing is the newest iteration of an 85-year struggle between secularists and the Muslim Brotherhood ever since the Muslim Brotherhood's founding. And since the 1952 revolution, which brought first Gamal Abdel Nasser to power, then Sadat, and then Mubarak, the army has been the instrument to try to destroy the Muslim Brotherhood as an institution. And it may be that General al-Sisi, as part of that establishment, sees it as his historical mandate to push the Muslim Brotherhood off the scene. And that would be very dangerous.
Talking with Daniel Kurtzer, former U.S. ambassador to Egypt and professor of Middle East policy studies at Princeton University. Well, you're running short of constituencies or candidates here to run Egypt. What's next? A restoration of the monarchy, a Coptic Christian government in Egypt, or even the secular leftists could take over? Those seem three very unlikely scenarios, but what's left?
Well, exactly right. None of those scenarios works. Actually, the interim government that was established after Morsi was pushed from power is actually a good combination of people. There are some very fine, well-established technical experts and others who are well-known internationally. And if given a chance, this interim government might actually prove itself. I'm just not sure, as we've been talking, that the military's decision to go all out against the Muslim Brotherhood will actually give this interim government a chance to govern. You know, the timetable for change now is very constricted. There's supposed to be 4 months in which you have constitutional reform, you have a new election to the parliament, and then presidential elections. That can only work in a situation of stability and of calm. And if these demonstrations continue over the next weeks and months, those situations will not obtain, and the whole transition is going to fall apart.
To say nothing of there's an economic clock ticking, tourism is non-existent in Egypt during this period, not likely to return. Can the U.S. basically pay all of Egypt's bills while this process goes on?
Well, not only can we not, but we will not. The financing gap in Egypt is now running at $3.2 billion a month, which means that their revenues are falling short to that number. Their foreign exchange holdings have collapsed since the revolution 2 years ago. And not only tourism is absent, but also other sources of revenue. Suez Canal revenue is down. Expatriate labor is down. In other words, the kinds of things that traditionally have earned Egypt its income are all suffering rather significantly as a result of this instability. The United States simply doesn't have the wherewithal to cover that. In the past couple of weeks, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and some other Arab states have provided Egypt with an injection of funds that helps them in the short term. But you're talking about very short-term solutions to a long-term problem.
Daniel Kurser, former U.S. ambassador to Egypt and professor of Middle East policy studies at Princeton University. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, John.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.